Oh, what a tune. What a tune. Second hour of the run home with Joel and Sock on this Friday, the last Friday before grand final. Come Monday, well, it's Mad Monday. One team's won, one team hasn't, but they are up and about. The Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel in stock now. Roto Flex by Blunts and Stability meets the freedom to move. If you missed the first hour, the podcast for you, but have your say, 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736, Twitter at Joel Fletch SEN. And as Tommy's got here, 12 p.m. tomorrow, AFL crunch time, followed by the 1 p.m. AFL grand final. So thank you very much, Tommy. We look forward to that, the run home with rat's ass, Tommy, on a Friday. Now, what about this for our man who we're about to speak to? He was challenged with a TikTok 36-second video to explain how Sportsbet and the traders arrive at the odds. And there's so many algorithms all in behind it. And guess what? He did it in 34 seconds with a leg in the air. Try Sportsbet, bet with mates, start a group and build a multi together. Conditions apply, gamble responsibly. Plenty of market still to come. And also hoping to get a market on Tommy's 1 p.m. AFL Grand Final chat tomorrow as well. How are you, Shawnee?
I'm good, mate. And you know why I was able to knock over that video in the perfect amount of time? I've been fresh, been looking after myself all week, being in the gym, eating healthy, watching the calories, getting the right amount of protein.
Yep.
But since I just heard that song you just mentioned came back from the break, I was going to have a quiet night in. That is gone out the window. I'll be at the pub in about half an hour. To say I'm like a pig in the proverbial would be one hell of an understatement. Group one racing, grand final. It is all happening, boys. I am pumped.
Yep. You know what?
Good energy.
Great energy. And he's absolutely right. There is no better time of year. You can still pick the grand final winner, the Clive Churchill winner. You can still pick the Melbourne Cup winner, the Cox Plate winner, the Caulfield Cup winner, the Everest, the Melbourne Cup. It's all there for you still to do. And
there's no better feeling, is there? Nah. There's absolutely no better feeling when you've got all the tickets laid out in front of you and there's not one loser.
Not one loser.
It's just the best feeling in the world. You're right, best time of the year.
Yep.
By the length of the Randwick Straight.
Yep, the big fat jolly fella's going to be coming down the chimney shortly. Summer is nowhere near ending. It's the best time of the year. Shawnee, where do you want to start? Love your energy.
Well, I want to start with maybe a bit of a bad omen for Parramatta fans. Now, the horse, King Gutho, went around today, race two in Maroya. Now, it jumped $1.65 favourite. Where did it run? Second. Paid $1.09 for the place. Couldn't get the job done. So, hopefully, not a sign of things to come for Parramatta supporters on Sunday night. But I sound like a bit of a broken record, boys. This market absolutely rock solid.
Hang on. Protest, Marky.
Hold all tickets, protest.
Okay, so King Gutho ran second today. Is that right, Sean?
Mm.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, that's fair enough. Well, the trainer or the coach, shall we say, also ran second in that same race. Who trains You're King right. Gutho? Named by who?
Mm. Joe Cleary.
Yeah.
Cleary trains.
J.M. Cleary.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Hold all tickets, folks. Hold all tickets. Righto, Shawnee, take it away.
With the cancel each other out sort of angle. I don't mind that.
Yep.
That's bad research from me. No, so as I was saying, market.
Oh, hang on. Whoa. And Drew Barrier To'o. It was Barrier To'o. So anyway,
it did too. And it was wearing number Charlie Stain. So it's all happening here.
And you know what? The jockey, you got to blame the jockey because there was a beautiful run on the fence, but it took the wrong Sean Lane. You know, there was some beautiful green grass, but it went down to Dylan Brown. Anyway, sorry, play on.
That's what you call pushing the pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Should have left it alive before we got the Sean Lane.
Yeah.
No, so the money has started really to push for Parramatta. So it was all Penrith early doors. They were a bit of a bad result for us, even at that short price of $1.37. But it's just about hit 50-50 in terms of the weight of money. So the Parramatta fans, they're really starting to talk with their wallets. $3.10 still on the board, and the line is 8.5. It's a very, very tricky number. I think the market and the boys on the trading floor here at Sportsbet have definitely hit the nail on the head here. It's hard to make an argument either way, really, I think, in the 80-minute sort of markets. But as I've said to you all week, Sugar, I've really, really honed in first market. I think Parra's going to jump out of the gates, just like King Gutho did, and maybe just get run down towards the finish. So I'm pretty keen on them in the first half markets, but I can't really get around them in the sort of 80-minute result markets because we know Penrith, they can finish with one hell of a wet sail. So that's the only danger there.
Shawnee, salary cap era, I've declared the 2017 Melbourne Storm side as the best team for a season that I've seen in this time. Who would you say? Have Penrith got a big case to make?
I think so. Like, we've heard there, what is it? They've won something like, 67 of their last 75. Now, don't quote me exactly on those numbers, but it's something along the lines of that. We're talking high, high percentage win rate. And when you look at that compared to any of those teams of, you know, past eras, and that's not even going back that far, but they're certainly, you know, outperforming them in terms of win percentages. So I think they've got to be certainly in the discussion, boys. That's my 2 cents.
Yep. Very valid 2 cents.
Where else would you throw 2 cents? Have you got anything tips in the races tonight or on the final?
He's got the app out.
I've had the app out.
He's had enough of that, Chet.
And, well, I just want to...
I just heard the pencil just get whipped out of his pocket there. Yeah. Sock's ready to circle a few numbers here. All right, should we go to... Let's start down in Melbourne. I don't actually have a tip in the Turnbull Stakes, a big group one down there, but we'll go through the market. Gold Trip is the one they all want to be in. Jamie Carr, her record the last probably month or so has been unbelievable. She's absolutely red hot, and it's the only thing that punters want to be on down there. That's $3.70 favourite at the moment, Gold Trip. Now, the second favourite, bit of conjecture around what the actual pronunciation here. I've been calling it Jewess for the last month or so, but I've heard Jouet. Just today, actually, there's been a little correction. So the French embassy have called up, and apparently it's Jouet. So it's $4.80, but it's on the drift, potentially because no punter can actually say what its friggin' name is. So friendless at $4.80. Then you could throw a bit of a blanket over the sort of the next chances in the market. They're all double figures, though. Surefire, Profondo, and Young at Verta, all $10. Inspirational Girl is $11. As I said, no tip, but we have got one headquarters up here tomorrow, boys, and the market has come. Initially, I thought we were going to be on Ice Bath, but the money has well and truly come for Hinged, carrying no weight at all, and it loves the wet. Already been found a little bit, but I think there might just be a continued push for it. It's currently $3.70, so it's our new favourite in the Epsom tomorrow. Number 8, Hinge, Karen McAvoy, CJ Waller, ticks all the boxes there. Ice Bath, still got J-Mac on it, and top ranked, we can't split it, and Ice Bath both $4.50. Crosstalk is the last one at single figures. But in these big races, and like any race, boys, when the money comes and it's really, really sharp money, you've got to respect it. So I'm pretty happy to follow it in. I want to be on Hinge tomorrow in the big one at Randwick.
Yeah, Fitzy's quite clever, tied up with the Tricolours crew. He was tipping Hinge yesterday for similar reasons. So there you go there. Final say, Shawnee, when it comes to the grand final.
Yeah. Well, as I sort of alluded to at the top, boys, I'm really, really keen Parramatta, +4.5 first half. And I couldn't talk you out of the for them to be leading at halftime, but then go on to lose the match. Halftime, full-time, double flipper. Yep. A little bit of Ric Flair involved to find that one, but it's about $8.25, $8 thereabouts.
Yep.
I just think that I'm really, really scared about Penrith's ability to charge home late. They're getting a bit of an arm wrestle early, just wear you down. Not really fazed about what the scoreboard's doing, but they'll be in it or thereabouts. But as you know, I've said ad nauseum all week, Parrots have to start good. I think they can. Can they hold on? I'm not so sure, but I'm leaning the way of the first half market here. That's my bet of the week, +4.5 first half.
Not a betting market, but if you were to frame one, will there be a sin bin? What percentage yes, what percentage no?
Well, I sort of had to reframe that non-market when I saw Nathan Brown's name on the here on the team sheet. His eyes will be spinning in the back of his head. Yeah. So I'm glad there's no betting on it, because I'll be steaming into certainly a sin bin. Hopefully, though, we don't have any controversy involved. We just want a nice, non-controversial grand final. And made the best team win. I think we're going to be, it could be an absolute classic this one. Hope it is.
Well said. Love your commitment, because there's nothing harder in the life and in the world than reframing something that doesn't exist. well done, Cole Miner. Sounds like you're reframing your attitude towards a few quiet ones tonight.
Oh, reframing would be the understatement.
Good on you, mate. He's been terrific all year. So our man, the coal miner, Shawnee the Trader, who is absolutely airborne at the moment, a terrific fella as well. Try Sportsbet, bet with mates, start a group and build a multi together. Conditions apply and gamble responsibly. Just before we go to the break, plenty of texts coming through, which we should catch up on. Yes. Oh, this one from 720. He said, g'day, Sugar. Did Sock listen to the in-depth interview with Starkey yesterday, Mitch Starkey's talking about, or as I'd like to call it, a four-car pile-up on the Hume Highway? It was an absolute car crash. Now, what happened there? So Gibbo, right,
Yeah.
Now, a little secret to peel back the curtains. Sometimes Fletch and I just turn up, and whatever's written down, we just say, right? That's what we do. Because when you go to a pub...
Tommy's nodding over.
Yeah, well, when we go to a pub, right, when everyone goes to a pub, you don't have notes and notes and notes and notes. Right. So we try to represent the pub chat. The chat goes where it needs to go. We're not overcooking the thing. We want our listeners to be part of it. That's what our show is, right? So we just sort of take it as gospel. Now, we interviewed him, Mitch Stark, and I said, Mitch, you know, you've done so much. You know, you've already played almost a whole year of your life in the fields of cricket in test matches, a whole 1 year of your life, of your 29 years. Yeah, he's 32. Okay, thank you, Gibbo, right? And then Fletch goes, reading the paper, he says, and Mitch, I see, as I am, he said, you're very, very keen into your Bitcoin. He goes, oh, not really, no. Right? Okay, thank you, Gibbo. The next one was, are you looking forward to this grand final? I know you're a Manly fan, Mitch, but who are you looking for? He goes, no, I don't go for Manly. No. I live in the area, but I don't actually go for him. Yeah. I said, no worries.
So there's... you're 0 from 3.
Yeah, and then Fletcher's chimed in. Well, mate, what about under-17s? You played for New South Wales. And if you wanted someone to cheer on, you play with Nathan Brown in that under-17s New South Wales side. He goes, nah, mate, he's a few years younger than me. So that was the car crash, 7:20. Thank you very much. Oh, geez.
Can I give you some background? Yeah. Gibbo rings me at 11 o'clock yesterday morning.
Yeah.
He says, can you give me something interesting about Mitchell Stark?
Yeah.
So he's doing his homework, Gibbo. And it was. I told him verbatim that he lived in Penrith but doesn't follow football, maybe get a football team out of him. So he's just must have, I don't know whether Gibbo may have had a bit of lag from last night. I said he follows GWS and not. He's got two staffies.
Yeah.
I said something of interest, though, that listeners might know. He lives in Jennifer Hawkins' old house up at the Northern Beach. I said that would be interesting.
Yes, that would be.
Maybe she's left a piece of clothing at home or something that's around the house. I don't know, a pair of socks, or whatever. Yeah. But it's horrible what it sounds like. It's gone down a completely different path.
Oh, it was a car crash.
Yeah.
But you know what? Mitch loved it. And the listeners actually. See, people don't love perfection soccer.
Well, no one cares. You get to those conversations, you don't hear about cricket, do you? You actually want it to go that way.
No, he loved it, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
we hear the same crap all the time. Keep them coming through. 1300 01 1170 is a way to have your say. Heaps of texts there. We'll mop those up and get back to those on the other side of this. Run home with Joel and Sock. Can we hear thanks to Hyundai and, the Tucson Turbo Diesel, if you don't mind. Afternoon, fellows. Gibbo was awesome last night. It's great to get a fresh voice at Nosy Sports. Presents well, looking after the SEN Insomniacs Club. I've got no doubt about that 465. Talented man is our man, Gibbo. Good afternoon, lads. Listening to your expert dribble while sitting at AB Oval, watching the Bulls versus Tassie on a superb Friday, arvo. Shame the Bulls, top order, not as good as the weather. Ads from Chermside.
Yeah, so they're playing a whole bunch of, there's a few teams up there. Tassie, South Australia, all playing at AB Oval, which is just sort of like the centre of excellence is up there.
What do you mean? Like, so Tassie are homing themselves there?
No, they're all playing. So the one-day cup, the Marsh Cup's on at the moment, which is the state competition, one-day stuff. But they'll send them to, say, because grounds are out of use because of footy and AFL, they'll just go to the AB Centre of Excellence up there and be playing. So it sounds like, I haven't seen the scores, but we'll do a little quick update. But it sounds like the Bulls have had a shocking start.
Good track?
Usually pretty good for batting, but if you do get a bit of overhead conditions and a tinge of green, it can suit the fast bowls. But generally one day should be pretty flat.
Please, I love the show and have been listening for ages, but stop that idiot, 2 a.m, two phones, Tommy, from speaking again. Typical squeaking rooster supporter, Al the Clovelly Garbo.
What did I say? Follow up, Adam, follow up. What did I say that pissed you off so much? Seriously.
Adam, attack, please.
Yeah,
or Al the Clovelly Garbo. By the way,
steam is coming out of 2 a.m's ears.
I tell you what, Andrew Johns gave a big shout out for the Garbos today on Morning Glory. He was talking about, he reckons the Garbos are one of the more content, happy people in the world.
Mm.
That's the greatest currency, isn't it? Being happy.
Yeah.
So, Adam, instead of being, feel free to
attack. No, I don't care. Just explain. Explain what got you so upset.
You're off the pit.
Instead of, I bet he's a Rabbitoh supporter.
Mark writes this. He says, Joel and Sock, can you promote and talk about the Rabs program tonight? It's on Channel 9 at 7:30, one of the best commentators of all time. Absolutely. Mark, I can't wait to listen to that. It's a great story, terrific story. Here's a confession. I've lived in Redcliffe for 16 years and even played junior footy for the Dolphins, but since they've been announced, they would be hoping the NRL, they'd be adding into the NRL. I've started to hate them being a one-eyed Broncos man. Cheers, boys, says 889.
Well, absolutely horrific. Bad fan. As a lifelong Dolphins fan myself, he decided to start supporting them about 2 weeks ago. Horrific. Come on. You've got to support your team the whole way.
Yeah, good on
He's one of the inaugural fans, Mark.
Yeah, got the season ticket.
I'm the longest serving fan of that team.
I'll tell you what you might be. You might be the one and only fan for their club who has never supported another club. You have been waiting for this moment. You've been so faithful to the cause.
Since I started here with SEN a couple of months back, everyone asked me, who do you support? Who do you support? Have you got a team yet? Tommy's been trying to recruit me to the Roosters every week.
Yeah.
Stay true. And think, Dolphins.
I love that you did that.
But one of the reasons that you wanted to support the Dolphins is because of Cam Munster. He's not going to join the team. Maybe. He probably will until 2024. Yeah. So are you going to hold off or are you going to still support him for 1 year?
I think I've now taught myself into it. It's a good story to have that I was there from the ground level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, Sharpie writes, I reckon culture is something that keeps players like Munster together as a professional. Munster has incredible talent, but without the Storm, he'd be a full-time loose unit instead, says Sharpie from Campbelltown. Now, I know there's been this Optus breach. I think somebody has stolen Sharpie's phone because that's a serious text.
Oh, yeah.
It's not crude, it's not lewd, and it's fit to share on the airwaves. So I think somebody has stolen Sharpie's phone. Anyway, 1300 011 70. More texts to get to. We'll get to those very shortly. But I'll tell you what the NRL's done, Mark. They have announced their academic team of the year.
Yes, it's the NRL. They've announced all the players and all of the education that they've been doing this year.
Yes.
Got a full team of players and what they've got in their schooling this year. So some of them, we've got Wade Egan. He's a Bachelor of Business. Gutho, he's got a Certificate 4 in Fitness this year.
Get that from
Kellogg's. Some of them are a bit more interesting. Andrew Fafita, a Diploma of Counselling.
Counselling?
Yeah, so he's going into counselling. Yep. Adam Dewey is a Bachelor of Arts.
Well, hang on, stand by. Coach K's just leaving, so...
off for the drinks.
He's off for the drink session, so Andrew Fafita may have a client within about 6 hours. Yeah, play on.
I think he'd have a client. He works with Jimmy Smith, Ken, so...
Adam Dewey has a Bachelor of Arts and Global Studies.
What is that?
Hang on.
That's the most useless thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, but what?
Arts and Global Studies.
Yeah, what is arts? Seriously.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Arts is something you put down when you don't know what you want to do.
No, but what is arts?
You study all this, I don't know. I haven't done arts. I know friends who have done arts.
But they're not actually drawing pictures or painting pictures.
No. And they say it's just a write-off.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, play on, Mark. Sorry.
Yeah, well, again, as somebody who studied media at university, he's going to have a lot of spare time, Adam. The big one, I think, with the Optus hack that happened recently is Brendan Elliott. He has secured a Master's of Cybersecurity.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, market leader so far.
Yeah, that's useful.
Heimelhunt. There, right? Yeah. Diploma of Finance Mortgage Brokering.
Okay, yeah, it's good.
Jocelyn Keller of the NRLW. She's a Bachelor of High Performance Sport.
Yeah.
And Tom Eisenhuth, a Master's in Education.
Well, you missed out one that you mentioned before, Lachlan Croker.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Lachlan Croker, yes. He has a Bachelor of Criminology and Criminal Justice.
Ooh,
that might come in handy.
Yeah.
Extremely important for your teammates.
Yes.
For your teammates.
Rugby league, the advisor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the off-season, yes. Yeah. Go and see your man. That's very, very good. Yeah. Very good, Mark.
Yeah, good studies.
We appreciate that. We just got here in the background. The 1983 grand final. So it was a back-to-back Manly and Para, 82-83.
I don't know. You're asking me, Joe. I wasn't alive then.
You started this summer.
I'll look it up.
I reckon they're the forgotten grand finals a little bit. We all know.
Three in a row, wasn't it? They won three in a row, didn't they?
81, 82, 83,
83,
and then 86.
84.
Okay. And then 86. So I reckon
that's the last time they...
Yeah, so 1982, they defeated the Seagulls 21 points to 8.
And what about 83?
And 83... I'm about to get that up right now.
This is great radio.
Block your ears if you're watching the Fox League now. Yes. Spoiler alert, 1983 grand final.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah. Parramatta won 18 points to 6.
So Manly, Para.
Yep.
Both times to Para.
Yeah, I think Brett Kenny scored 2. Eric Groth scored 1. Phil Sigsworth scored the only try for the Seagulls.
I have an update in the cricket for you, Socky. So Queensland are currently 95 for 8.
Yeah,
in that Australia One Day Cup, Tassie are yet to go.
Eight for 100. That's
Kajawa is out for 13.
Kwaja,
Labajang for 10. So not the best for Queensland.
That's a phone number that bad.
So here you go, Joel. Arts, you choose subjects in history, language, politics, and philosophy.
Spell philosophy, sugar.
without looking at the text line?
Philosophy. Yeah, hey, please. P-H-I-L-O-S-O-P-H-Y.
I don't know whether that's right or wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. You're being called, who are you being called here? Colin Fasnage. Do you sound like him, mate?
Who's Colin Fasnage?
He's an Irish chef.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not Irish, but thank you very much.
Yes. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Yes, there you go. 1300 01 1170. This is the Run Home with Joel and Sock. Heaps more to come. It's the halftime chat. Tommy Tufo's going to bring us in and just bring us in. Yeah. The Run Home with Joel and Fletch. 1300 01 1170. Here's where we've landed. The fullback, James Tedesco. The wingers, Talungi and Addo Carr. Now, we've done this in the space of about 2 minutes. So if we find any holes, let us know. And one thing, I'll tell you what, one thing I've learned about lists. If you go on Twitter or if you do anything and you post a list, it's a challenge for people to try and prove that your list is wrong.
Unpick it.
Yeah. Mm. Even if they deep down agree with their list, they'll find a way to go, nah, that's wrong. Anyway, this is what our list is. Tedesco fullback, wingers Talungi, Addo Carr, centres Latrell and Holmes, Munster the 5'8", Cleary the halfback, Tino Fasulmalaawi up front with Regan Campbell-Gillard, Ben Hunt the dummy half, the back row Nanai, Murray, Yeo, and the bench Cotter, Harry Grant, Carrigan, Crichton.
Yep.
Thoughts?
Yep. Well, we did pick it together, so I agree with you. Yeah. Tommy, you got any objections?
No, I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. Well, maybe
we'll throw that at the listeners.
Do they take, I was just trying to think, I would have had, before he chosen Samoa, I would have had Swalee in there as a starting winger. I think just his contribution off the back.
And then hang on.
What?
Hang on. There's many players, including Luai and To'o, et cetera, who have To'o.
He's Samoa. He's pledged his commitment.
Right. So, but of all the players who have pledged their
allegiance,
it's taking 10 seconds to go, I would have had Suli.
Sorry, he's a winger of the year. Sorry.
A rooster.
Yeah, sorry, I'm biased. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I think it's really interesting, this World Cup, because
Sam Walker should be halfback, is what you're saying, in front of Cleary?
maybe take him over there for some experience. He'll be there in a couple of years' time. Yeah. Anyway, no, I think it's a really interesting World Cup because probably the best New Zealand team we've ever seen. Tonga, once again, very, very strong, even though they'll miss Taumalolo for the first few games. Mm. And Samoa, I'll go through the Samoan squad, which they restricted, they brought down some players last week. So Aluai, Farmanu Brown, Stephen Crichton, Matthew Fienai, Royce Hunt, Orokin Kafusi, the list goes on. They've got 8 grand finalists.
Yeah.
So 8 players playing in this weekend's grand final are going to be in the Samoan Rugby League squad. Junior Barlow, Jerome Luai, Brian To'o, Hamasai Tabuai-Fido, who I didn't know was Samoan.
No, I didn't know, no.
Yeah.
So it's going to be that. I think the one thing for Samoa is they've got a more explosive back line compared to Tonga.
Yep.
I think whereas Tonga's weakest link is, Joel,
halves,
is their spine and their halves, whereas their biggest strength is obviously their forward pack, led by Taumalolo. They got Takiao, Kalama Matangi, Ola Kawatu, Adam Fanua Blake. It's ridiculous.
Jaden Sewer with Samoa as well.
Anthony Milford, Josh Papali'i, Taylan May, Spencer Lenu, Luciano Leilua, Chanel Harris-Tavida, Braden Hamlin-Ueli.
Jeez, I feel sorry for Taylan May. Like, he's had a terrific season.
Yep.
A terrific season. And you know the irony of all this, that he did his hamstring in that week one versus Parramatta, and they deferred the sentence because of the incident that happened the year prior, and they deferred it for next year, and everyone's off the bit going, oh, that's ridiculous. But in hindsight, it would have been better off for him, and Panthers would have known that he was in significant doubt, to take the 2 weeks then and to start next year with everything clean slate, you know. But anyway.
Can't keep everyone happy.
No, you can't. You can keep some of the people happy some of the time, Sock, but not all the people all the time.
This might sound weird.
This is another rooster comment.
No. This is a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a good thing for International Rugby League if Australia don't win this World Cup?
I don't think it's a good or a bad thing, but I honestly think that what the likes of Andrew Fifita, the councillor, Adam Fanua Blake, and maybe a couple of others did 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, Taumalolo as well.
Taumalolo, right? What they did, those pioneers, is maybe the greatest thing that has ever happened for International Rugby League. We've had these World Cups for years, and it was Mickey Mouse. It was dead set Mickey Mouse. You'd smash these teams, and then eventually it's Australia versus New Zealand or England in the grand final. Now you've got legitimate chances to make the grand final. You've got England, Australia, New Zealand, Tonga, Samoa,
Maybe a Fiji.
Maybe a Fiji, but it's game on. It is game. Well, okay, not just to make the final. You've actually got five teams who could actually win the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. It is fantastic.
It goes. I mean, there's been all the discussions about where do you declare your allegiance and where does it stop? Can you play for New South Wales and play? Anyway, it's a topic for another discussion, but isn't it great to see? So everyone talks about rugby union being the world game, but over the last 20 years, it's only been won by three or four teams, I think. Correct me if you're wrong. You know, it's the same sort of three to four teams dominating and winning the trophy.
Yep.
But we're seeing in rugby league now with the likes of the Samoan strength, the Tongan strength, that you're going to have. So how does the game adapt? How does rugby league maintain that strength? Is it just by changing these tier two nations into tier ones? Is there more of these Pacific Islander games throughout the seasons? How do they maintain that strength and get that sort of team cohesion?
Well, I tell you what I think we need is, and credit to your man, Joseph Suoliti, who's thrown away a lot of cash and all the benefits of the flights and having your own room, etc. It would be nice to have everyone on a uniform page. So, you know, if you're tossing up between playing for Samoa or Tonga or Fiji, whoever it may be, and you're right in the mix for Australia, you're not being swayed by a financial incentive.
It's
or
a flat match fee for everyone going.
Yeah, I think so.
That should make sense for mine.
I think so. It all goes into a pool.
Yep.
And you just go, well, boys, you get, or girls for that matter, you get X amount per win. Yeah. And
more in the prize money maybe for the team that wins it, you can divvy it up.
Whatever. Yeah. Way. Whatever, yeah, I think, yeah. Sock, you know. Like, I just, it is so good for the game to have
absolutely
those nations competing. It is so good for the game.
Yeah, yeah.
1300 01 1170 is the way to have your say. Okay, this one comes through. Sugar, feel free to poo-poo this, but we're at the stage where the Indigenous team can have a team in the World Cup, or should they always play with Australia? Cheers, the hot dog. Hot dog, I actually push back on that, and the reason being is I want more and more, and this is coming, and admittedly this is coming from a male who's Anglo-Saxon. I want us to come closer as, you know, I don't want us to get further apart.
We are one,
yes,
but we are many.
No,
sort of.
But that's right. I don't think in a World Cup, we're Australians, right?
Yep.
We're not Indigenous, non-Indigenous. We're Australians. So let's go there together. In the case of Samoa, and they're different countries. They're different nations. Mm. So I do poo-poo that hot dog. I just think that, you know, there's so much. I feel as there's so much going on, right, to make this country more and more one. But I feel like the more we're doing, we're not getting closer. And there's smarter people than me. But I just, you know what, I actually didn't see any racism when I was playing. And hopefully that many players could say the same. In fact, that people who weren't, if you want to say Anglo-Saxon, I found they were quite endeared and loved. Mm. I just want everyone to be on the same page, Sock.
No,
is that unfair?
It. No, not at all. It's funny, I was seeing my little nieces and their Penrith supporters, so that breaks my heart. But they grew up out west, and we got a video through. She's about four, and she basically rehearsed the welcome to country. But because it's, look, you know, people can have their opinions on that or whatever they think, but I think it's a really nice thing that we're teaching our young kids today, just respect for everyone.
Respect for everyone.
Respect and understanding. Yep. And I think it's becoming more and more pushed through. As you said, I think you're going to have those challenges of trying to get the right fit. But it was nice just to see a young girl, Georgie at five, reciting that and straight away, you know, without even knowing, just developing that level of respect for everyone. So I think we're on the right path. Just you just got to introduce all stakeholders, Indigenous community and the like to come together and see what best interests and what best suits the game of footy and every stakeholder.
Socky, my personal view is this, right? There is 196 countries, right? And we have...
Is there?
There's 196 countries and we have been born into this one, right? Or you've moved
the
here.
Best.
Like Mark, whatever the case may be.
It's the best in it, Marky boy.
But I believe it is the best. And it's become the best because the sum of everyone's contribution, the sum of everyone's background... And we can't ever change what's behind us, but it's become what we live in today, which I believe is, even if you don't believe it's the best country, it's got to be amongst the best, and it's the sum of what everyone has contributed, you know. But anyway, that's we're so getting by the by.
Yeah.
1300 01 1170. Scott from Brisbane's there. G'day, Scotty.
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Good, Scotty. What's happening?
Mate, just on the the topic there with in relation to having the lower nations not having as much money as obviously the Aussies and New Zealand and whatnot.
Yep.
A lot of these boys now that are pledging their allegiance are top-tier NRL players, probably getting quite a fair bit of coin.
Yep.
I'm wondering if, you know, I don't know, probably go too deep with salary cap stuff, but whether or not they could just throw, you know, 5-10% off the top of their wages every year towards their nation to try and enable those kids that are pledging their allegiance to enjoy the perks of flights and rooms to yourselves and things like that.
No, I know what you're saying, Scotty, but I think what that actually does is, so they're already, so the likes of, in your example, Joseph Suoliti, he's already throwing away extra cash to play for Australia, you know, business class flights, his own room, and then you throw on top of it 10% of his salary or 5% of his salary, and I think that it further, it makes it more appealing to stay and play for the Kangaroos. Do you know what I'm saying, Scotty?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like it's a double sacrifice, really, isn't
it? But I love where your heart is, but I just think we're already asking a lot of them, and now we're saying, by the way, also we want to trim your pay packet. I don't know.
Yeah. The only thing that sort of, with making it a everyone gets the money and evening it out, does it really incentivise Samoan Rugby League or Tongan Rugby League to improve their back of house? I know that they're not as privileged sometimes as us in Australia with the management skills that we possibly have, but does it incentivise them if we all just say, oh, all the money from International Rugby League goes into a pool and split out evenly?
Yeah, that's something to consider. But I suppose the thing for you and I, Scott, is that we're not privileged or privy to, you know, the actual nuts and bolts of the finances. And I love what you're saying. And maybe there is, you know, maybe there is something where you go, okay, well, look, the World Cup, yes, we've got Samoa and Papua New Guinea and Fiji and Tonga and Australia and England and New Zealand. But in reality, of all the participants who are going to be at the World Cup, whether it's in England or wherever it is, 90% participate in the NRL. Therefore, the NRL will participate in 90% of the bill to ensure that everyone's on the same page.
I agree with that.
I reckon, Scott, you're onto something there. But as I said, mate, we don't know the numbers of the expense, but I do love how you're thinking.
And I love that those nations are now so strong. This World Cup's probably one of the most exciting that we've had ever.
100%.
Because of that evenness.
Yep, totally agree. Who's your tip for the grand final, Scotty?
I think the same as everyone, mate. Penrith should win, but para by heart. I'm a Dragons fan, so I'm pretty sad about that. But I'd love to see para. I'm a sucker for an underdog or the team that hasn't had a go for a while. So I'd like to see them win.
Fair enough. Good on you, Scotty. Mate, I love how you're thinking. 1300 01 1170. The run home with Joel and Sock on this Friday. Tom from Kings Langley on the text line. He says that it was great to see they finally replaced the New South Wales flag with the Aboriginal flag on the Harbour Bridge. Tom, totally agree. Totally agree. There was talk about like a $25 million spend to get an extra flag up there. They made the absolute right call. What does the New South Wales flag mean to people in this country? And with all respect, basically duck egg.
I couldn't even tell you what's on it.
You probably could. If I said to you to draw it?
No.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's a sky blue. But Tom from Kings Langley is totally right, and I totally agree. The two most important flags in the country, the Indigenous flag and the Australian flag.
And the South Sydney flag.
and just on that, before we get down, and you've got to be very careful when you start to get in these paths. But for what it's worth, Sock, Australia Day, I couldn't give a rat's what day it's on.
Yep.
I couldn't give a rat's what the national anthem is.
Yep.
I couldn't give a rat's about what flag we had. Mm. I just want the whole country, right? We have been here now, everyone, as far as we're all here, we've been here for 200 or 300 years. Let's get the smartest minds who represent all minorities and all majorities together and say, guys, come on. None of us were born when anything happened, but let's get together and let's work it out and let's start marching forward as one.
I'm with you. I'm marching with you, sugar.
You know, that's me. That's just me, right? Yeah. And I know I can't speak for everyone because I don't know the background, but I just desperately want when one day I have grandkids that we're all on the same page, right? Yeah. It's a great country. We're all blessed to be here. We're very blessed to be here, however we've arrived here. That's my personal view. But everyone's entitled to their opinion. 1300 01 1170 is a way to have your say. Text 0457 736 736. Now, in the background, we've had the grand finals, Fox League, and it was Manly versus Parramatta. And two things have come to my attention that I love, right? That I absolutely love. the JJ Gilton Shield was doing the lap of honour with Parramatta having that victory. I want to see Penrith, who were the minor premiers, if they are to win. Of course, this doesn't apply to Parramatta, who weren't the minor premiers. But if Penrith, who are the minor premiers, win the comp, get out there with the JJ Gilton and Shield.
Absolutely.
Get out there with the Proven Summons Trophy. And somebody even said, meet somebody on the corner and let them hand you the Jersey Flag Trophy, the New South Wales Cup Trophy, and pray the lot.
Gee whiz, that's a big trophy cabinet, isn't it? The old Panthers.
Yeah, but the JJ Gilton and Shield, bring it back.
Yeah, I agree. You've been big on that, haven't you?
Why not? And Matty Johns. It's huge.
It is a huge moment.
Was Matty saying the same?
I just don't think there's been enough of a wraparound being minor premiers. At the end of all that rounds, I mean, you need a bit of luck to go your way in finals and skill and whatever, but at the end of a round season, a bit like the EPL, they say, it doesn't lie. You know, the EPL table is after a round of 36 rounds or whatever it is, it doesn't lie because it tells you who the best team is. And it got to the final round of the EPL when Man City, and it went down literally, all the games were on the same moment. Mark, you might be able to fill us in.
Yeah, on Sunday, the last game of the season, Liverpool and Manchester United, Man City, 2 points in it, and if Liverpool won and Man City lost, Liverpool
all played
won the
at
league
the same time. Yeah, so it was amazing.
No, I just, when you're looking at replays down the track, nobody remembers who the bloody minor premiers were.
Yeah.
But you'll say, oh, they won the minor premiership and converted to the major premiership. You beauty. It's such a big achievement. Yeah. The other thing is, before we go to the break, is this. Like, there's going to be a full house at Parramatta Leagues Club and at Combank Stadium, right? Penrith will have the same out at the Leagues Club and possibly at the ground. When there's a try scored by Penrith or a try scored by Parramatta, cue the cameras into that. Remember the old days? You'd see them down at Canberra. Or just get them there, the vibe. Yeah. Here they come.
The keynote tickets are flying everywhere. Yeah. And the pencils, people are making them. Yeah. Remember Royce Simmons, one of my favourite moments, is when he went up and got his medal or whatever after winning the final. Said, can't wait to have a beer. I'll meet you down at Panthers, and I can't wait to have a beer with every single one of you.
Yeah.
You know, it's the heart and soul. It's the lifeblood of all clubs is their leagues clubs.
So good. I told Dad, we're in a pub in a town of 80 people. I said, Dad, set a market for the Clive Churchill medal man of the match. I said, put 25 to 1 for Royce. He's no chance. So he put up that price. Royce got the man of the match on TV. Brad Clyde, he had to pay out both.
Oh, God.
Cost him a fortune, poor dad. He's still paying it off. 1300 01 1170, the run home with Joel and Sock.
I know both verses.
Hot diggity's back on the text. Hot dogs. He said, Sugar, I didn't mean in terms of dividing us as a nation. He was talking about having an Indigenous team at the World Cup. He said, but he'd much rather watch an Indigenous team play in the World Cup. And he's of Greek background and not too much interest in watching the Greek team play. I know what he's saying. He's saying that the Indigenous team would be far more competitive. But the fact is, Indigenous is part of Australia and therefore play for Australia.
Play on.
It's a World Cup. So hot dogs, I get your point. But at the end of the day, it is a World Cup where you represent your country or nation. 1300 01 1170, the way to have your say. Tell you what, two phones. We're 2 hours down.
You know what we're doing after the news as well, Joel?
What are we doing?
Grand final preview. Big breakdown of both teams. Who's going to win? Our predictions. So stay tuned after the news.
And guess who's going to give us an exclusive preview? Man of the match, first try scorer, which team wins, margin, etc. Mark the Scotsman.
Can't wait.
Mark, you'll probably bloody tinningly pick them all too, by the way. This is the run home with Joel and Sock.